But anyway, for those of you listening on the radio, we're in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. I'll read to verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Okay, I guess I should stop at 3, because number 4 will pick up a whole new topic, and then I guess you can read till... Well, go ahead and read to 10, because it's too short to go to the next one, whoever's going to read next.
Is it my turn next, or Brother Nick, are you going on?
Oh, yeah, no, I just wanted to say hello to LG, she's on the phone. Get the computer fixed. Okay, that's all I had to say. just going to annoy her a little bit. Yeah, she's probably annoyed enough because her computer's on the fritz. And so I guess it's just me and, unless somebody else wants to, unless somebody else actually has a microphone, me and Lynn will be reading tonight. Maestro, maybe? Yeah, she needs a Mac. Amen to that. But if somebody else has a mic, put your bubble up.
Okay. So I'll do verse 4 down to, let's see, verse 9. Continuing in Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it, and other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen. So this next one's a small, I'll go all the way to the next one too. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. That seeing, now he's prophesying, of course, or all repeating a prophecy of old, because these so-called men of the cloth, if you will, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and stuff like that, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. You know, they have eyes to see the world, but they don't have eyes to see the truth. They have ears to hear everything in the world, but they don't have ears to hear the truth. So, unto you it is given unto the to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Because think about that. If they understood. Now, because I always kind of like went back and forth on this one. I'm thinking, why is it you're hiding this from them? And it makes perfect sense. If they did have understanding, they would be that much more dangerous on pulpits. Because, you know, okay, I'm going to throw out something that may be a shocker, but I think most people do understand. The Pope is not a Christian, okay? It's just, okay, duh. All right? So he's not a Christian. He's actually a Mason. He's a 32nd degree Mason or 33rd degree Mason. When you get to that degree, when you get to that degree, you are actually educated. In other words, the only reason you step up in degrees in the Masonic lodges, if you will, is to, what they're doing is they're chipping away at your faith. Most Masons start off as Christians and or believers to some extent, but they slowly but surely, the leaders in the church whittle away at them to get them to a point where they can actually use them to destroy Christianity. And by the time they get to the 33rd degree, they're more or less asked the question, I'm just paraphrasing, of course, because I saw this all on video. They ask them the question in regards to Christ, and they're also asked to spit upon a cross, and it's a life-size figure of a crucifix, and they're supposed to spit on it and destroy it, you know, destroy Christianity from the inside out. And so this is their main Latin life. And so when I say the Pope is not a Christian, it's just, you know, common sense among those of us that believe. And I forgot why I brought that up for him. Okay, just went right out of my cranial mass. If anybody remembers what the reason for I was bringing that up. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, with this intense hatred of Jesus Christ, if they understood these parables, they would be that much more effective on pulpits to destroy the faith of others. It's just like what they did with the NIV, the NASB, the Douay Rheims, and all the other, what I like to call, bogus Bibles. If they had perfect understanding of the parables, if they had perfect understanding of the truth and still hated Christ like Satan does, you know, because he has a lot better understanding of the Bible than we do. If they had perfect understanding, they would have removed a lot more than 2,000 verses from the NIV, and they would have rewritten a lot more than 2,000 verses, around 1,800 verses. They would have rewritten a lot more. And then that Bible would have been that much more difficult for people to find Christ in. So continuing. That's why he says they might not see and they might not understand, because let them understand. See, a child of God gets the milk. If you have a true desire to go into the milk, he's going to give you the meat. It's just like this is one of the beauties of our God. Nature reflects his activity in all aspects of life. You don't feed a baby meat. You feed them milk. And when I say meat, the Bible also says meat can mean baked good and, you know, things you chew on. All right, it's not meat. Is not, it's just like wine. Wine is in the Bible means fermented or unfermented. Well, meat in the Bible means baked goods or flesh. And so you can't give a baby something to chew on, because 99.9% of the babies out there that are born don't have teeth. There are some that do, which is an amazing sight to see. But a baby, an infant crying with teeth. All right. Anyway, continuing. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed... And so he explains it. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Now this is just like in nature. You ever thrown seeds out or see how weeds react to the crack in the sidewalk? All right, you're walking on the crack of the sidewalk and you see, oh man, that grass just comes up and the weeds come up so quickly there. But they don't have any depth of soil. And so they die quick too. But anyway, he goes, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in the time of temptation fall away. Because the rocks, of course, are symbolic of trial. And so whenever the devil makes them think that it's too difficult, like, all right, I know I used to lie before I was a Christian, but now if I lie, that's sin, but if I don't lie, I'm going to lose my job. Or, for example, the Sabbath. Okay, now I understand the truth about the Sabbath, but if I break the Sabbath, it's going to be sin. But if I go ahead and work on the Sabbath, at least I won't lose my job, you know, stuff like that. There's the trials of the world. And then, of course, this also leads into the next one that he's talking about with the thorns, where, and they which fell among the thorns, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. I mean, these, and this is really short-lived there. And then verse 15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And so prayerfully, we all have a bunch of soil that he's been planting his seeds in. So whoever's next, go from there. Verse 16.
Okie dokie. And just wanted to say on the air, hey, LG, hope you get your computer soon, my sister. Sorry for the inconvenience. I know it's a pain. But anyway, continuing with Luke chapter 8, verse 16, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bin, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
Amen. I'm watching the radar here, and I'm seeing how I just have to giggle sometimes. It's so amazing to see it. Just all the red stuff disappears, and then it's just a lot of rain. It's really cool. Praise the Lord. Storm 45 and 46. All right. Verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. In other words, a lot of people in the crowd. A lot of people were pressing in on him. Hold on a second here. Well, there's my notes. By the way, this can also be linked to the talents parable, too, but that in itself is a whole new story and a whole new study. Okay, verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain, which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. Now, this is where the Catholic Church likes to take it out of context, and I go into deep detail, and I use other areas like from the other Gospels to show in regards to the ossuary of Joseph, ossuary of James, I think it is. You know that burial box where the Catholic Church is trying to say it is not the burial box of because if they acknowledge it as the burial box, they got to admit that they messed up with their doctrine of Mary's Immaculate Assumption, whatever. But anyway, verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. That's pretty simple. See, now that verse, of course, they'll say, my mother and they won't use Luke. They'll use, I think, John, where he could separate this into two verses, because they don't want to use the term, hear the word of God and do it, because they don't hear the word of God and do it. Okay.
Okie dokie, continuing Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Oh, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. Amen. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. Amen. God commands the trials in our lives. And he says, peace, be still. I praise him for the respite that he gives. Amen.
Amen. And this is a special blessing to me, because growing up, I had an intense fear of tornadoes, and it all started when I was 12, of course, when our neighborhood got hit with that F5. But the neat thing was the way that the Lord, when I was 10, 2 years before, and I, you know, when I was really young, I used to get into encyclopedias, and for 2 years I was fascinated with tornadoes and, you know, anvil clouds and stratocumulus formations and cirrus clouds even, you know, those little ice crystals way up there. I mean, any kind of weather patterns. And I kind of knew everything that was going to happen before a tornado would come in the area, because I wanted to warn my loved ones. And so this kind of stuff, and even when I became, you know, an adult, I still had a fear of tornadoes, because I always seemed to be around them for some reason. Like, especially when I was painting water towers as a teenager. I mean, it got to be scary. And so I praise the Lord for the way he answers prayer in this regard. Yeah, they were stalking me for years. So anyway. Yeah, I know. The Catholic Church literally worships her. They say they don't, but they don't understand the definition of the word worship. Just kneeling down in front of her statue. I mean, if they just look and see what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they understand why God moved that day, because those three worthies did not bow down. They don't seem to realize that all those people that bowed down to that 90-foot statue of Nebuchadnezzar didn't bow down to worship it. They bowed down because they did not want to go in that furnace. So if bowing down is no big deal, why did God step out of his busy eternity to visit Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace? If bowing down was all they were doing, just like the Catholics are saying, oh, we're just bowing down in front of the statue to pray. Well, if that's no big deal, then why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have their lives spared? Why did the Lord make such a point on that? And it's also why the Catholic Church, in their Bible, if you look in the book of Daniel, it doesn't end in chapter 3 with verse 25. It ends with verse 90-something. They added a bunch of garbage in there, including Jesus Christ calling himself a sinner. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, but it's there. I had a Catholic Bible, the Douay Rheims. All right, verse 26. Or he alludes to himself being a sinner, like-minded or whatever to that extent. That's what it alludes to. All right, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils, long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. This is, of course, Legion, you know, which is amazing what happens here and what happens afterwards, too. All right, going on, it says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, I think in John, it goes a little further and says, what are you doing here before the appointed time? The devils knew who he was. I mean, James 2:19 says the devils believed and trembled. You know, they were scared. I mean, that's why you see the words flee. When we stand in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ and say, get thee hence, Satan. He doesn't just back off and start twiddling his thumbs and saying, oh, man, I'll be back, and, you know, start kicking stones or something. No, he flees. He runs. So going on, it says in verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven out, driven of the devils into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. Now, a lot of people don't understand just what was said there. A legion, now I looked this up, is actually a body of soldiers whose number differed at different times. And in the times of Augustus Caesar, it seems to have consisted of 6,826 men. You know, 6,100 foot soldiers and 726 horsemen. And I, you know, that's... you know, the research you can get online or whatever to find that out. But pretty amazing. Awful lot of problems that guy had. Verse 31. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them, or, you know, he allowed them. Now, a lot of people think, well, that was pretty, you know, mean. I mean, weren't the Jews the chosen people? And wasn't he supposed to protect everything of the Jews? It's just like with a person sitting at a kitchen table and saying thank you, like giving thanks for the food they're eating. And there's a pork chop on their plate. It is extremely clear in Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus 11 that God did not give you pork to eat along with a lot of other unclean foods. You are the human body. There are certain things that are destructive to that body. So when you give thanks, you can't say, thank you, Father, for this pork chop because he never gave it to you. Oh, it has to be just you, Andy, because I'm running off of T1 here. So the odds are if I'm breaking up on your end, it's on your end. So it'll probably clear up after a minute if you're using DSL. All right, continuing. Because this is a long one. It goes all the way to verse 39. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked, or, you know, drowned, as the other books will say. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now these were Jews. You know, they weren't supposed to be, you know, herding swine. They knew. They weren't supposed to eat it or touch it, so they got someone else to do it for them. And so the Lord was not going to protect something that was not given them. So continuing, verse 36 says, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went into the ship and returned back again. Now check this out. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them. Might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he sent his way, and he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, Sister White goes into a little bit more detail in this area. Here I'm going to read what Sister Bonnie just put in the room here in a second. But the thing here, this man, of course, wanted to go with Jesus wherever he was going. Jesus not only healed him, he employed him. He gave him a ministry. I don't know exactly where it's at in Sister White's writings, but it's in there where she mentions how when Jesus returned back to the area, I'm not sure if he actually returns back, but there was a report that everybody in the area was blessed by the testimony of this man who went into the city and actually did publish throughout the whole city all the great things that Jesus did for him. And many people became Christians because of that. But in Desire of Ages, page 338, paragraph 3, it says, from the cliff, the keepers of the swine had seen all that had occurred, and they hurried away to publish the news to their employers and to all the people. In fear and amazement, the whole population flocked to meet Jesus. The two demoniacs had been the terror of the country. No one had been safe to pass the place where they were, for they would rush upon every traveler with the fury of demons. Now, these men were clothed in their right minds, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words and glorifying the name of him who made them whole. But the people who beheld this wonderful scene did not rejoice. The loss of the swine seemed to them of greater moment than the deliverances of these captives of Satan. But somewhere in her writing, she does talk about how they were affected by this man's testimony. It's just like with the woman at from Samaria. She testified as to what Jesus did for her or spoke about at the, you know, the woman at the well. We're not Seventh-day Adventists. We are not Seventh-day Adventists, Jelaine. Seventh-day Adventists are, in fact, Roman Catholics. Yeah, I spoke of Sister White because she's a prophet. And it's been proven. Even Hebrews rabbis have proven her to be a prophet. A modern day, there's been a prophet for every age of the church, Elaine. Every age. Why would the end times be any different? Is it not written in your scriptures that in the last days your daughters shall prophesy? Are you going to deny scripture? I guess she is. She walked off. So pray for her. I guess she was Catholic, or no, she wasn't Catholic. That's not often. Oh, look, steer. Hey, see, someone leaves and the Lord sends someone to take their place. Praise the Lord. But that's sad when people are affected that way. It looks like we're not going to be getting into Ellen White's writings tonight. I just realized what time it is. We might go a little long. So I guess I'll stop there on verse 39 if Lynn wants to pick it up till the end there on verse 40. Yeah, scriptures is always good. Amen, sister. There you go.
And praise the Lord that I'm going to be starting with verse 40. But I just want to go back to verse 39 where it says, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I can't be quiet when God has been so, so incredibly good and miraculous and awesome. As you all know, I'm still unemployed and looking for work, and I am praying over something to see exactly where God would lead me. But as I said Friday evening, God touched a few brethren's hearts, and I just praise him for that, because things pretty desperate and things like that, and God has moved through these brethren in a mighty way. And I just want to say again, thank you to those who know who they are. That I just love you all and thank you so very, very much. And then when I went to the post office again today, there was even another unexpected blessing that I totally came out of left field. And interestingly enough, it was from the IRS. And it wasn't a large little refund, but I mean, nevertheless, I was like, a refund? January? For what? You know? And my mom was with me, and she said, the Lord knew what you needed. And he told those people, no, 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 you don't tell them that you just take that off of what she probably is going to owe this year. She needs that money now. Send it to her now. So praise God for just his blessing. And, yeah, let's just pray for Sister Delaine. Anyway, continuing on with verse 40, I just had to say thank you, Lord, for his goodness, especially right after that verse 39, you know, where, you know, we are to show and to praise God for the goodnesses that he has done. But continuing verse 40, okay, Brother Nick, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And I'm just going to break off here a second, too, because back in 2002, the only blood sister that I have, I say it that way because I have many sisters in Christ that I love dearly, but the only blood sister that I had died. And she died of complications of asthma, and the main thing was that was blood. She apparently thought she had a blood clot and was bleeding out over everything, and I claimed that verse, you know. I said, Lord, you're the same God then as now. And she just touched your garment, and so I'm touching your garment now, Lord, on behalf of my sister, that it is your will that she would live and that you can stay this issue of her blood. I mean, as fast as they would put blood into her, it was coming out. But, you know, God always knows what is best, and she did not make it. So, but, you know, God is still good. He's still on the throne. He's still the same God, and we still need to touch the border of his garment, you know, because he still knows what is for our best good. But continuing on with Luke chapter 8, verse 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? I mean, it's like they're saying, Savior, duh. You see all these people touching you, and you say, who touched me? Hello? But continuing with verse 46, it says, and Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. In other words, he felt when the healing had happened. What an awesome Savior we have. In verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. I mean, that's ultimately what he says to each of us, you know, when we're going through our trials. And I know that there, you know, a few brethren here in the room that are going through trials, and that is so for us, you know, to fear not, believe only, that God is an awesome God, and he can do anything if we trust him and believe and hold on, even though it's so hard. But continuing verse 51, it says, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, and he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Verse 54, and he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. I mean, here again we see that all he did was spoke, and it was done. Just as he spoke with the raging river and water and storm, all he did was speak, and it was done. And the last verse for this chapter, verse 56, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Amen.
Amen. And the thing I like about this, there's no need to grandstand. Those that were nearest to Christ came with him, and those that were nearest the child were present when it happened. Notice how everybody, because the doubters would be there and the murmurers and stuff like that. Just, the parents and maybe an apostle or two. And, Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the little girl. That's all that was needed. Isn't that amazing how our Father works? In, Bible Commentary, Volume 6, page 1063 says, When Jesus felt the touch of the suffering woman, he exclaimed, The virtue has gone out of me. So the scripture declares that the Lord wrought miracles by the hand of Paul, and that the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified and not the name of Paul. Wait, I got to backtrack. Yeah, I better backtrack there. As the hem of Christ's garment had communicated healing power to her sought relief by the touch of faith, so on the occasion garments were made the means of cure to all that believed. Diseases departed from them and evil spirits went out of them, yet these miracles gave no encouragement to blind superstition. Like you see today. You know, that thing that we get this every now in the mail, this thing of prayer cloth with the eyeballs that supposedly open. And then you got on TBN, you got the guys that says, if you send us a donation of $100 a month or more, we'll send you this little piece of cloth that we've prayed over and we've touched. And all this, who do you think you are? You gotta have the fruits. You gotta have Christ. Literally. Because by their fruits you shall know them. And a lot of people don't understand what those fruits are. They think the fruits are just, saying that Jesus Christ is Lord and that's it. Saying all I got to do is believe in Jesus and I got heaven tapped. But, the devils believe. So by their theology, does that mean Satan gets to go to heaven? No. The devils believe and tremble because they know what's up. And so the fruits are what we have. We keep the Ten Commandments and we have the testimony of Jesus. That being the understanding of prophecy according to Revelation 19:10. The two major fruits from Revelation 14 or even Revelation 12:17, 14:12 or 12:17. So praise the Lord. By their fruits you shall know them. It's that easy. Oh, and I'd like to ask anybody here if they can give me a hand with this here. I'm looking right now. I'm tired of dealing with emails to this effect. Just dealt with one the other day. I'm researching and researching, because it's like this one guy sent me an email. He doesn't know whether he should donate to my ministry or another ministry. And I don't like I don't like people asking me questions like that. And they're asking me, what do I think of the other ministry? And I says, the guy's preaching what he preaches. He does what he can. The Lord winks at our times of ignorance, but he is 501c3. And so what I did was I went to the IRS website and I put in the word Adventist. Because I don't care about the Sunday keeping ministries and stuff like that. Because if someone's going to ask me, what do I think of this ministry? And it's a Sunday keeping ministry. By their fruits you shall know them. These are not walking with Christ. If they did, they would obey His law. Otherwise, they're liars. It's according to 1 John. Now, I just put in the word Adventist. Now, their website has a lot of problems. It has a tendency to crash. They got a bug in their database. I can see it as clear as day. But I was able, after 5 or 6 attempts, to get to kick out the word Adventist on that 501c3 IRS website, and it came up with 170 churches and hospitals and whatnot with the SDA name on it. 170 of them. So I've listed them. Now, I know ministries like Wahlberg's or Amazing Facts or 3ABN or the brother of 3BN, I can't remember his ministry's name, are also 501c3. If anybody here knows of a Seventh-day Adventist ministry that's bringing in millions. Because see, this is what seems to be a bit weird here. Because I've been talking to some believers that are like-minded believers, and I'm just off to the side, and I'm saying, you know, because I used to do this too. I says, where is your tithings going? And they'll say Amazing Facts or It Is Written or, you know, Mark Finley's ministry or whatever. I says, do you realize that they're 501c3? If they don't understand simple prophecy, because, you know, because I got to explain, I've of course explained the 501c3 and tell them what it's all about and how it's an actual image of the beast. You know, it's just the reality end of it. It's not, so, and it's also the spiritual end of it too. And there's other little aspects of the image of the beast that they're going to fulfill as well when it comes to their power that they're going to start flexing, because all the ones that with the 501c3 now can lobby. And some of them state they continue on believing as we do, as, and then separate from the churches as we do and stuff like that. But they continue to send the money to these big ministries is because they're doing such a big work. And I'm thinking, that doesn't make sense. And so I am going to build a page on the website that's going to show all the ministries out there, all these big ones that have 501c3. And, of course, I'm going to link that page to my 501c3 page, which is called The Image of the Beast, Made Alive in America. And hopefully that will get people to realize, look, if you're sending money just because you think that they're reaching more people than we can, or some other ministry that preaches like we do can, then you are going to be held accountable by God, because you know where their money is going. You know that they are a church and state conglomerate. And they got to make the decision. They got to, you know, do what's the right, you know, exactly, corporate responsibility. They got to have corporate responsibility. If you know, now if they don't know, the Lord reaches the times of ignorance, and they can't, because a lot of the young ones will sit there and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know, and I start feeling guilty. He says, look, the Lord winks at your times of ignorance. If you did a really major sin, you think he's not going to wink at this? Don't worry about it, and don't go over there and ask them for their money back. You know, for your money back, don't. They're going to be held accountable for what they're doing. I mean, the fact that they lost $50 million in the stock market gambling should have awakened, and it has awakened quite a few, but some don't. Because think about it. Some of them might be a little bit too lazy. So, you know, I got to go look around for a ministry. He says, well, that's your job. You want to do something for the Lord? You can't preach, or you can't do this. You can't be a printer, or you're too busy to do this. The least you could do is have your funds do some of the work, you know? And so your job is to, and I'm not talking to you guys personally, but you know what I'm talking about, but their job would be at least investigate where your money's going. At least be settled in your heart there. You know, because otherwise the Lord will get somebody else to do it and leave people behind. I linked to his tithes page on my one page on my website. It says, can you tie it to this ministry, or can you help this ministry, or you can help this ministry? And then there's because some Seventh-day Adventists approaching me in regards to tithings. Can my ministry be tithed to? And I tell them yes, but they want proof. And so Rob has compiled a whole list of all these quotes from Ellen White's writings that talk about where money goes, when, you know, where tithing money goes and what you can do with love offering money. And rather than copy it and paste it onto my website, I just link it. That way they can go to Rob's website, too. Yeah. But as I was saying earlier, that one woman that was in here, did Jesus say, if anyone comes to me, I will by no means turn him or her away? Yeah, amen. We did not turn it. Are you talking about that Jay Aline woman? I didn't turn her away. I tried as quickly as I could to share with her that Ellen White is a prophet by talking about the rabbis and the fact that the prophecy says in the last days your daughter shall prophesy, but she just said, oh my gosh, and left. She left. I didn't boot her. We didn't kick her out. We didn't chase her away. She left on her own accord. Yeah. And she was turned away by, was not turned away. Yeah, we didn't, I didn't even ban her, you know, because she didn't use any foul language. She didn't use any insults. And like, she'd come back in if she wants. And if she does, if she acts Christ-like and carries herself as a Christian woman, she'll stay. But my experience has been with some Seventh-day Adventists, they have the same spirit of the Catholics. Because, and she's not a Seventh-day Adventist either. She made that very clear. She thought we were Seventh-day Adventists, and we're not. And maybe she'll come back. Because I've seen people do that, where they've gone to my website and got all offended and sent me all sorts of hate mail. These two girls did this one time, and I put it on my, they're the only two, and I told them, I says, you guys are the only, this is when it first happened, because it's happened more than once. I told these two young girls, I says, you know, you two are the first ones that I have on my hate page and my declared page. My declared page are people that, you know, this is when I used to put all the mail. I didn't put it all on there. You know, whenever I get some nice email, I put it on my declared page. And all of a sudden, a Catholic sent me an email and says, why do you only show the good emails? Why don't you show the bad ones, too? I says, well, the problem with that is you guys use four-letter words and death threats and stuff like that. And so he convinced me that it would be a good idea. I says, okay, I will, but I'm going to password protect it. And so these girls, they attack me left, right, there's all this hate and all this other stuff. And then about 6 months or maybe a year later, I can't remember exactly how long it was, they came back and they apologized and realized after digging into the website that it was the truth. They left the Catholic Church and they started keeping Sabbath. And so they're on both pages. They're on the thank you page and they're on the hatred page. All right, let me check the... This is amazing. I should have recorded this one, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's just breaking up real bad, and it's just, the storm is just, well, praise the Lord. Okay, good idea. Let's pray. If you can get on your knees, please do so. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with the truth. Thank you for your scriptures that lead us into all truth. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we understand that. Father, we lift up this J. Elaine woman. We pray that your hand is upon her, especially when she opens up your Bible, because we understand it as the living word. We see it happen. And hopefully she doesn't lash out against Ellen White like some people do, because it's a very dangerous thing to come against the prophet of the Lord. We saw what happened with those teenagers with Elijah. We saw, well, there's many things that happen with people that come against your prophets. And so just the fact that, you know, there isn't a single Christian bookstore on the planet that will carry her books other than Seventh-day Adventist bookstores is proof enough for some that there's a reason they're hiding her writings. The enemy does not want, you know, her writings out there the way she so gently explains your scriptures to us. So we thank you for her writings. And we pray that this woman gets into them and is blessed by it. And she comes back and she can be, you know, a sister in Christ. We thank you also for blessing all those that are on our prayer list. Keep Kitty safe, too. She had to leave. There's a storm moving in on her area, and so we pray that it is it shifts and it completely moves away and keeps her perfectly safe. And we thank you for those answers to prayer, the way you move your hand like that. And thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And whatever we have learned today, we pray that we could share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.